Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And are you living in shamanic consciousness yet? Or have you? Well, maybe it's available for all of us, and we have to awaken to it through soul whispering. And we've talked about it before, and we're going to talk about it today because it's really important to have that conversation going in a deeper state of consciousness to make life much more rich for us all. And to help us do that is the author of Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness, Linda Starwolf. So, Starwolf, welcome back.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be back.
Oh, I'm so glad that we could talk some more because this is the future. We have to go deep. We can't live without it.
And amen. You're a pioneer. You're talking to the choir.
Right. Well, I think our audience is also the choir because that's why they're listening. And it's really important to know how to process this consciousness so that we can live with it more effectively. And that's what you teach, and so many, there's so many practitioners out there that work with soul whispering and with what you teach is shamanic breath work. And I've always thought of breathing as an essence of power in us, of the ability to awaken ourselves in ways that we're not usually conscious about. And I know that very advanced yoga work, you know, there's a lot of very advanced esoteric practice that involves different breathing sequences, different ways to breathe that are also awakening. And can you tell us about your breath work?
Yes, I'd love to, Peter. As you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, especially about the more ancient breathing practices of the yogis, and we hear stories of, I remember the first stories I really connected with were from Paramahansa Yogananda, and from the Self-Realization Network and Fellowship. And I remember also with Ram Dass and Be Here Now. And in the late 60s, the early 70s, the Beatles were going off to other lands and being with Maharishi and doing breathing techniques. And I think they were doing a few other things too, like a lot of us during that time. But breathing became, you know, it's interesting to hear the word, like, breathing. It seems like, oh, yeah, that's important, you know. but to actually see it as a method to liberation, to see it as a method or a way to access the deeper self, the true self with a capital S. And I became interested in that when I was just a teenager. And, you know, today when we're you know, doing yoga practices, because yoga has become so mainstream now. I have to digress just a little bit. At one time, if you were in New York City and you were trying to find a yoga class, and you went into the, at that time you go into the back of the yellow pages of the phone directory, in those old days, if you looked up yoga, you couldn't find yoga, but you could find, for some reason, yogurt. And so, you know, today I think there's probably 1,000 listings, not in necessarily the yellow pages, but just in, if you went online, just in New York, probably more for yoga classes. And yoga, of course, involves using the breath. So, you know, it's kind of like something caught on in the 60s and 70s in the United States about breathing somehow being important for enlightenment, or a relaxation, or maybe healing. And I really, when I've studied and looked back to see what that was exactly, It seems to me that a lot of the Eastern yogis that were coming over to the United States in the late 1940s and early 1950s, that they were bringing those practices over to this area. And I've thought about it and thought, what was that and why did that happen? And I thought, I think quite frankly, the two big wars that happened in the, early 1900s, the first half of that century, and people became aware of international travel and soldiers were coming home and people were aware of the whole world instead of just being one country. It would be nice if we could remember that again in this country. But anyway, at that time, and I think that a lot of people came back home and a lot of information had been gained from being in other cultures, and some of the wealthy patrons were able to bring some of the yogis over, and there began to be this kind of what we called new thought, if you will, and even metaphysical thought in the United States, which of course has been around forever, but it began to rise in consciousness until the, if you will, the baby boomers from that area, the ones that were conceived from those returning fathers and mothers who were glad to see each other after those wars that they had survived, brought home and opened up a whole new field of consciousness in our kind of young country. So from then until now, which has been about 50 to 60 years as far as baby boomers, going on actually 70 years, there, and that is the first chapter of our book on, from baby boomer to shaman, there's been this evolving consciousness. And one of the things that's constant throughout that, whether you look at people using psychedelics or plant medicine or music or dancing or make love, not war, or whatever it might be, or yoga, really through all of that is expanding consciousness and waking up in some way. And of course, there's shadows that come with that as well when we're doing it in different ways. But for me, to just speak directly into the breathwork itself, after making that study, actually my personal pilgrimage through that time, and then looking back at it and being involved with all kinds of breathing and breathwork practices from many different fields, and then finding shamanism and coming from the field of mental health and psychology already, it was just a natural fit to bring everything together and to use a method, And the method was using the breath. And then the development of that particular method is something, that came through me in a particular style or manner in which to do it.
And also, with shamanism, it's not just the breathing, it's the rhythms that you climb into, perhaps with drumming, for instance, and get into that deeper meditative state, but being guided, as you do in your shamanic breath work, is to guide the mind into places, into opportunities of deep awareness, of shamanic awareness, of climbing into that inner state of consciousness that talks to us in ways that we don't expect. We learn things. And I'm laughing because I just remembered a shamanic journey I had where I was questioning struggle, and why, because we all have struggle, and I'm part of that world of working through stuff and finding wonderful tools for it. And that's, I think, my gift is to be a healer and to seek solutions, not only for myself, but for everybody. And that's why we're talking. And so I wanted some deep answers. I wanted to know, for me and personally, what is my strength? What can I do? How can I solve some inner struggle that I was involved in, and I needed, or outer struggle too, and I needed help. So I went on a shamanic journey. I was traveling through the earth, and I came across a few people, and they were from another place, and they, and this very tall, very strong-looking woman in a white gown, very heroic-looking woman, was standing with these two men. And I said, so please tell me, how's the best way that I can deal with this struggle? And she walked up to me and gave me a chest bump and said, buck up. And that was so meaningful because it was like, yes, I know. And I'm so glad to have that reassurance from that deeper place. That I just need to stay strong, and you know, and I have to congratulate myself that I really, you know, lived successfully through many, many, many challenges in life by bucking up, and we forget that sometimes. Yeah. You know, we don't realize that we can draw on this inner strength, and it's a universal strength. It's not, but bucking up doesn't mean buck up your ego.
Right.
It means buck up, could mean just buck up your light, buck up your knowing, you know, buck up your heart. So, so it's amazing when we ask, and you send people on these journeys all the time.
Yes.
You must have amazing stories to tell about it.
Oh, I have so many stories. And the people, of course, in my books, you know, that I have, and especially in the Soul Whispering book and also in my Shamanic Breathwork book from a few years back, I have a lot of stories that are in the books talking about their journeys. And I wanted to speak into that piece. The first thing that struck me when as you were speaking where you talked about is that sometimes we need to go deeper. And, you know, as I've said before, we're kind of in this rush hour traffic, you know, fast food mentality. And everything's fast and everything's quick and we can't text quick enough or, you know, and I'm not knocking it. I'm grateful for being able to text. I'm grateful for being able to do things faster. And at the same time, there has to be a balance within us or we can completely disconnect from our humanity and we can completely disconnect from what we personally need. If we disconnect from our humanity, we disconnect from what our little human self needs. And humans have very specific needs, you know, and in the field of psychology, I learned early on just through my studies. And of course, when you study that, then you go, oh, well, of course. You know, I mean, we need good food. We need a place to sleep and to know that we're safe and that we're not going to be bombed in the middle of the night, you know, or broken in on or molested. We need to feel a sense, you know, this is called the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We need to know that we have some personal power in the world to direct our destiny. We understand that nothing is forever or solid and can change on a dime. By fate or accident, whatever you want to call it, but that we, until something like that happens, we have some personal power in our lives to make decisions and that we can be determined and have a will and to buck up and do what needs to be done. And even beyond that, at the higher needs, we also need to know that we can connect to our hearts and connect to others and connect to the world around us and that we're not apart from the world and others, we're part of it. We belong to the world. We belong to others. We're not separate, you know. And in the shamanic world, we belong to the trees, the animals, the waters. We're elemental beings. We belong to this place.
Well, even if we really
had an origin in the stars, we belong here.
I really like what you're saying, and I'm picturing where you work and the community that you've created in a wonderful area down in North Carolina that with everyone working together in like-mindedness of shamanic consciousness, then everybody is in agreement with oneness. Everybody is connecting at the deeper unconscious level that all of nature supports, and we can support it that way too. And so it's really ideal to be in an environment where you're surrounded by nature, you are doing these deep shamanic journeys with many people who agree, you know, because so much of life around us doesn't understand what we're doing.
That's very true.
But they don't.
Very true.
And so you're very fortunate to have created that community.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I created it, and my late husband and I created it together, but I created it for myself because I really know that our reality in many ways is not only determined from within, but consensual reality of the people around us. So we get to choose. You know, people may think they don't get to choose, but we do. That's why people, you know, form Facebook groups, you know. Those are on the rise, which I think is good. But in real outer life, we get to choose where we live, who we're around, who we want to associate with, and what we want to believe. And, you know, reality is formed by belief. And so it's not like forming a cult or saying, well, we're all going to believe this. But if we find ourselves in agreement with certain things like I value nature, I heal in nature, and I love ceremony and ritual that honors the natural cycles of life, birth, death, and rebirth, and, you know, I celebrate with those around me, and also create a space for people who need to go into deeper healing. For instance, we've had a couple of people here. Well, we had, as I said before, 30 people here who just came through our training. But we call our training transformation and training because really the healing and the transformation is a huge part of the training. You can learn techniques. You probably know this, Peter. I mean, you can learn techniques. You can learn yoga. You can learn, you know, Reiki. You can learn Tai Chi. But if you don't have a container to really hold that and practice that and to make that shift within yourself, it doesn't really take or go very deep. You know, it doesn't go beyond just the outer layer or surface of the skin. So when you talked about going deep, there is a part of us that is beyond our brain, beyond our mind, our thinking mind. And I'm all in favor for using our mind and thinking. But there is a smarter part of that, and that's what I was going to say in this hierarchy of needs. There is, once we move up through the chakras and move up through our own development, there is higher mind, higher love and wisdom, even beyond the heart and mind, that is what some would call spiritual, and I call shamanic psycho-spiritual. It's the shamanic part of us, which is the natural world and the elemental. It is the spiritual part of us, which, of course, is involved in all shamanism, but also in other ways. And it's the psychological or the psyche, the soul. And this combination of body, mind, heart, spirit, and soul is the deeper part that wants to have an agreement all the way through and not be divided. And you spoke about the struggle. And for me, at least, the struggle is when I'm divided within myself and I can't choose a course of action, or even if I did, I don't see how I would do it. And this is something I've written in many of my books, and you just spoke about it in your sharing of your journey. And that is, there is a deeper part of ourselves that if we are in a community or we're with a practitioner or we begin to, after time, really learn how to do this on our own, which of course is desirable, but it's also much more potent when we do it with other people. Even after all these years, for me it is. But with that, there's a way in which we go deeper and we really can find the answers to anything that comes up in life actually fairly quickly and also find the solution much faster. And it's not because right. It's the fast food consciousness, but it's because we have the direct pipeline into the part of us that absolutely knows how to heal, how to transform, and what our next right action is in the world.
And it's about getting the mind out of the way, the ego mind, the mind that tries to control, and allows those deeper truths to come through. Because it comes through even with more understanding than linear thinking.
Yes.
You know, there are deeper truths to who we are and how to hold ourselves in more wholeness that allows us to know how to take the next step.
Yes. I would love to just give you one very quick example of something that just happened with someone who came here. And I won't, you know, I want to disguise it a little bit, but someone who's been quite prominent in Hollywood and who came here completely bottoming out with everything in their lives just a few days ago and had heard about me. We talked on the phone a couple of times. Had kind of a synchronistic meeting actually in an airport by accident. And if you want to think of an accident, and we're just kind of drawn to one another, not knowing that, and spoke to one another. And then this person started going through some really upheaval, just completely everything that was in their life just seemed to have gone away over almost literally overnight. And they were in this place of like, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to survive? Where am I going to live? And this is, you know, someone who had been riding high, you know, and now all of a sudden, and this happens to all of us. Not because we've done anything wrong necessarily. Sometimes the wheel just turns. And what I believe is that when it turns, and I have to say for myself, I know when it turns for me in that way, where it seems that things go away, it's because there's something else that's coming. And I'm undergoing what's known in the shamanic world as a shamanic death or a shamanic initiation, which doesn't mean necessarily I'm going to die physically. But it may mean that certain things in my life really have to go and die off in order for me to have this bigger self that's coming
to
me.
And this is in your book also. It's the five cycles of change.
Yes, yes. And it's a map for shamanic consciousness on the spiral path instead of the linear one. But this person, you know, contacted me. I said, you know, I just have a little break in my schedule for a few hours, come out to, you know, where I live in the mountains, and, you know, I have a break because we've had some people here and going through big transformation, but I have a few hours, and I really feel this connection. Come on out. So they came out. They spent some time with me. I myself was not in a position that day to do shamanic breath work with them, but I went to one of the people in the community and said, you know, can you do this for this person today? And they said, sure. So they came over to my healing space, did this for this person. And then, you know, I didn't get to see them before they left, but that night they went out a little bit on a vision quest on the land here. And then the next day they called me and they said, you know, and this person was like, I have no idea what to do, no clue, no next step. I have no resources, nothing. The next day, everything shifted. They, during that breath work, a spirit guide had come to them and said, go sit all night by the fire and the water. So they sat by the water and they built a fire. And the day after that, miraculously, they were, all of a sudden they were, given, because I don't want to give away who this person is or what's happening, but everything changed. Let's put it this way. Everything changed. And they now have a course that they're set on. They've got a place where they're going to be living. They got this mobility. They've got this shift in consciousness. And it was like night and day, where the day before everything was abysmal, was at a bottom, it was hopeless, what's the point of living? And the next day it opened up. And what did that person do? They, you know, on a whim called me because they remembered our connection in the airport. They found a way here. They did one breath work session. They sat by the fire and the water all night. And the next day everything in their life shifted.
Well, this is synchronicity and serendipity at its best, and we should all allow ourselves to have that. And it's really not about necessarily doing the exact same thing this person did, but really finding our own way of going deeper into surrender, into opening and hearing and allowing. And so it's nice to have vehicles for that. And you're certainly creating that. We're getting near the end of the show, and I love speaking with you. And
I love talking
I know we
to
did
you
a
too,
recent
Peter.
Show. Thank you. I mean, we did a recent show, two in a row, but sometime in the not-too-distant future, it'd be nice to connect again because you have so much richness in what you have to say and what you're doing. It's very important work, and I think a lot of people should really hear you and then be able to hear themselves.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Peter. I really appreciate what I feel is very heartfelt and intelligent conversation with you. And I very much love this planet. You know, I like I said before, I'm like the indigenous people. I believe we're from the stars, the great star nations. I don't think we necessarily had our origins here. But I do believe that while we're here, we have a sacred path. We have a sacred journey. And that we are all here for a reason. We're here on purpose. If it's not by accident, we're here on purpose. And my hope is that we can find that purpose and be kind to the world and to the planet that has been kind to us and find our right place in this world and to support each other on our journeys.
Wonderful. That sounds great. And you have a website?
Yes.
What's the website?
The website is shamanicbreathwork.org. And it's a fairly large website, and but you can click on the events page, and there's lots of things happening. I'd like to mention, if I could, that I'm leaving tomorrow for Sedona, and I'll be out there doing a book signing. I'll be doing a 3-day intensive beloved shamanic breathwork journey out there. Then I head out to California, and I'll be in the Bay Area for 2 weeks doing a variety of events there, radio shows, workshops, university, you know, bookstores, et cetera. So if folks are in the Bay Area or in Sedona, I'd love to see them and come on out and let other people know.
Well, this show won't be aired for about 10 days, but you'll be out in California. That's
I'll be in California for a couple of weeks out there.
Yeah, good.
So just the last piece with that is that I do have a page called you know, Linda Star Wolf, our Star Wolf on my Facebook page, and everything gets posted on there 3 or 4 times a week, and the whole list of all the bookstores and events that are happening for the whole year.
Okay, that's great. So, Linda Star Wolf, thank you so much for bringing Soul Whispering back to Energy Stew, and I look forward to speaking with you sometime again.
Thank you, Peter. I enjoyed it tremendously.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.